In the name of God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost. Amen. Verily I say unto thee, thou shalt by no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing. We know our gospel lesson this morning, it finds us just real busy in this massive crowd that's in attendance at the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus' teachings on the Sermon on the Mount, they have since been a key element of Christian ethics. And for many centuries now, the sermon has acted as a fundamental design of life lived within his commands for the conduct of his followers. As Jesus' teachings continue, he begins on the longest section of the Sermon on the Mount where our gospel lesson is found, which is traditionally referred to as the antithesis or the Matthean antithesis. In these teachings, Jesus fulfills and he interprets the Old Covenant, in particular, its Ten Commandments, which are contrasted with what you have heard. And as you read through this section of the Sermon on the Mount, he'll say, well, what you have heard from old times, in other words, what is the tradition of the religious leaders of Jerusalem at that point in time, and he tells what they think about a certain topic, and we're into the Ten Commandments at this point, but then Jesus reinterprets the commandments on how he wants us to follow those. Well, according to the interpretations of the Matthean antithesis, and Christian views of the Old Covenant, these new interpretations of the Law and the Prophets, well, they're not opposed to the Old Testament. You see, the Old Testament supports the New Testament, and the New Testament supports the Old Testament. You can't have one without the other. And there are some denominations, we're not of this Old Covenant, we're the New Covenant. So all they do is they study the New Testament. But we study the Old Testament and the New Testament, and we receive instruction from the Apocrypha section of the Bible. Now Jesus, he came into this world as God incarnate to fulfill all of the Old Testament prophecies by his person, through his teachings, and by the completion of his Heavenly Father's work. Jesus' purpose is not to change the law, but to reveal the full depth of the meaning and the understanding that God intends the law to contain. Jesus proclaims, "Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but I am come to fulfill." However, Jesus continues to teach that the religious leaders at the time, well, they practice an outward demonstration of self-righteousness. We know the true righteousness is from God. And it goes through his Son because he is the righteousness of God, as we find in the comfortable words. And through Christ, this righteousness is brought to us where we become that righteousness of Christ to God. So it flows back and forth. Now the righteousness that Jesus will establish through his life and through his crucifixion and through his resurrection will be the righteousness that will exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. Well, how does it exceed that? Well, it's because Christ's victory becomes our victory. Jesus states that his commands, they must be adhered to, and that through the repentance of our sins and the creation of a penitent and contrite heart, he will forgive us our sins and he will restore us back to our baptism. I don't know if you've ever heard that or not, but you know in the Psalter it tells us, look how wide also the east is from the west, so far hath he set our sins from us. Take us back to our baptism. That now we've removed all of that evil off of our soul. We've confessed our sins. God has forgiven us of our sins. And we are right back to our baptism where we can serve Him with that pure heart. Well, you know, in particular, within the portion of the Matthaean antithesis that's recorded in our gospel lesson, Jesus is immersing us in His teachings on the sixth commandment, which is, thou shalt do no murder. Jesus always taught the truths of His Heavenly Father, which are not found to be the faith and belief of the Jewish religious leaders, and as well a great portion of the Jewish nation. That was God's chosen race. And they have made the decision, the conscious decision, that they're going to turn their back on Him. Now, through His teachings, and especially with the commandments, we find out that we can sin in many different ways. We can sin by thought. We can think about something. We can sin by deed. We do the act. And we can say it. You know, what comes out of our mouth, that's what defiles a man, because it's not coming out of a pure heart. Jesus teaches that evil attitudes and motives towards our neighbor, they're just as serious as the actual act. The righteousness of Christ, which brings us to the right decisions and the right actions in regard to the commandments of God, they must come from the heart. And not just viewed or to be believed as an outward compliance with the law. That's self-righteousness. We look to the righteousness of God. We must understand that the righteousness of Christ that proceeds from our hearts is due to our baptism, as you heard read in the epistle lesson this morning, where St. Paul explains this in his epistle to the Romans. Our death to sin and our being raised to a new life unto the righteousness of Christ is dramatically and vividly symbolized in the baptismal rite by which we are visibly made members of the body of Christ, which is His church. Our immersion, in other words, being our personal waters of baptism, they define the burial of our old man of sin, and that being raised out of the water is our rising to life again in our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, it is easy to see that the call to our reconciliation with our neighbor and with God points to the supreme glory of the coming of the kingdom of God, our eternal salvation. How can our righteousness exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees? Well, it's through our faith and belief in His victory on the hard wood of the cross. How can Jesus' call for such righteousness be a condition of entering God's kingdom? It's because, as you will hear in the prayer of consecration, that we may dwell in Him and He in us. We dwell within our Savior. You see, Christian righteousness will exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees through our humility, through our obedience, and through our compassion. We come to our Lord Jesus through our humility, whereby His compassion is our example of our compassion that we show towards God and to our neighbor. What a powerful promise for following God's commands, that we will dwell with Him in His kingdom forever. And this is through His Son's preaching and teaching, the Didache and the Kerygma. What a tremendous teaching to take to heart. And not only that, but to take to our daily lives. What a tremendous gospel lesson that we have today. And it really is just, there aren't any ways to say this other than just to say it. But, my dear brother, we're here for the worship of Almighty God in the Anglican tradition, and to honor you, and to pray in thanksgiving for your God-giving apostolic ministry as a priest in his church for the past 40 years. Through your pastoral ministry, you have and you will continue to exhibit humility, obedience, and compassion. Through your humility, you have conquered your pride and your arrogance and have removed that beam from your eye as you tender God's love to those in need. Through your obedience, the theological virtue of faith, it just shines through you. You live by the example of God working through you, whereby we see that not only do you teach the various doctrines of faith, but you visibly live your life in the faith for all to see and to experience. Through your compassion, you can determine very quickly by the power of the Holy Spirit working in you when God has brought a soul to you that needs the compassion and the nurture of Christ Jesus. Anglicanism places emphasis on pastoral care as the chief function of the ordained ministry, which has developed into an Anglican theological tradition of which you embrace wholly. You embrace it all. You understand that your ministry is grounded in your belief in God and in your love for your neighbor. You intentionally care for others and regard the failure to care for others as turning your back on God. You know that caring for a soul is through divine care, where God is the creator, redeemer, and the sustainer. So, my dear brother, continue in your Christian ministry and in your life with Christ, whereby you are that shepherd to the sheep that God has brought to you in the assurance that you will return these sheep as faithful stewards unto the shepherd and the bishop of their souls. Godspeed, my dear brother, and press on the kingdom. Amen. And now to God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Ghost, be ascribed all might, majesty, power, and dominion, most justly do this day, both now and forever, world without end. Amen. Amen.